Welcome to ATS Mix.
And I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
But also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
We have a very special interview planned for all you listeners and members of AboveTopSecret.com and the world over, and that is with presidential candidate Dennis Kucinich, and also his lovely wife Elizabeth joined us. And this turned out to be a wonderful little interview, wasn't it, Dave?
I was just really blown away by both of them. I really was.
I give kudos to Mrs. Kucinich. She is not only lovely, but extremely intelligent, as our listeners will find out soon enough.
Sharp as a tack, she really is.
And we want to also let everybody know that there are some segments here in our interview where, since they were in a cab heading to the airport, that the cellular phones that they were using obviously lost their service briefly at certain times, but we're going to go ahead and leave it intact because we think that would be the right thing to do.
Yeah, and another thing, we're also going to post it on the show notes, but we want you to please go to their website, Dennis's presidential website at www.dennis, D-E-N-N-I-S, the numeral 4, president, P-R-E-S-I-D-E-N-T.com. There's a lot of things on there about him and Elizabeth and all their things that they're trying to accomplish. But, you know, I was very impressed with this interview, John. I really was.
Absolutely. And so let's not let them bite their fingernails off anymore. Let's get right to it. Right after this brief word from one of our sponsors.
This is Bob. He's a hardworking 30-something male that is well-liked at the office. But Bob is hiding a secret affliction that he's hidden all his life. You see, Bob suffers from what has just been recently diagnosed as politicus uneducatus. Fortunately for Bob and millions of sufferers like him, there is help available for the politically uninformed. And it's available free 24 hours a day to anyone connected to the internet. All Bob has to do is type in www.abovepolitics.com and his disease soon will disappear completely. With Above Politics, Bob can now be informed in what's happening not only with the U.S., but also in the worldwide politics arena. It doesn't matter if it's liberal, conservative, socialized, moderate, or other, Bob can't help but become better educated. He'll soon be up to speed on important issues on topics like the economy, military and security action, energy and science, religious and spiritual influences. And when it comes to finding out the latest on the political player's motivation and sentiments, Bob now will know the difference from the left and the right and everything in between. If you cringe at political discussions around the water cooler like Bob does, grab a pen and paper now and write this web address down. www.abovepolitics.com. It will change your life forever.
ATS Mix.
Morning.
Good morning.
Dennis, are you there?
Good morning, Dennis are you there?
Yes, I am.
We thank you both for joining us this morning. And my first question, Elizabeth, would be, Jacqueline Kennedy really portrayed a very elegant first lady image. Is that what you believe a first lady should be?
I think a first lady really should be a partner to her husband in whichever way the relationship really works. So my husband and I, we work together on policy, we work together on the campaign trail, we work together on so many different areas. Everybody's relationship is different and unique, and I really hope that in the role of the First Lady that I would show is how a very, very loving relationship can work on a multitude of levels, and I think really take the role of a spouse into another generation of, you know, showing a woman to be somebody of her own mind, but yet showing a partnership to truly work together.
This is Johnny Anonymous here. If Dennis gets elected, what would be your domestic and international priorities serving as a First Lady?
Well, I don't think I'm going to be too concerned about changing the curtains in the White House, but I think I'd like to paint the White House green. I really want, you know, a massive issues of our time really are sustaining life on this planet, not only with respect to the environment, but also with respect to war and peace. So I think that really the next first lady and the next first couple will really have to focus all of their attention onto those very incredible issues, which are very, very overwhelming to some people, except Dennis and I really feel that there's a great deal of potential with these challenges. I see the potential really for the creation of a works green administration where government will be seen as an engine for sustainability and restoration of the environment, where we can advance the powers of all the different departments within government to move towards environmental sustainability. On the other hand, you know, that Dennis is really working on, obviously, international relations and looking at working with the world community, showing America to be a nation among nations as opposed to a nation above nations. And that would be shown through a national security doctrine change. At the moment, we have peace through strength, which is the security doctrine of Washington, which literally means peace through war, preemption, unilateralism, first strike, do unto others before they do unto you. Well, that's not might be my spiritual upbringing, and it certainly, I don't think, is one which works within the nation. What we would like to see, instead of peace through strength, peace through war, is strength through peace, because we understand you can bomb the world to pieces, but you can't bomb the world to peace. And so strength through peace would be turning on its head that other security doctrine, and instead we would be focusing on direct engagement, diplomacy, international relations, signing up to international treaties, joining the International Criminal Court, working cooperatively with the United Nations. So as a wife, I would like to focus on the environment, on sustaining the planet, on the earthly role. And I see my husband really as the person who is the international statesman, working on the war and peace issues of bringing the world together again.
You know there's going to be a tremendous amount of intense media coverage if you and Dennis become president and first lady. How do you think you can deal with the scrutiny from the media?
I don't read it.
Well, there you go.
I don't watch the TV. I don't read the articles about this. I don't read the blogs. We remain focused on what it is that we're trying to achieve, which is a government with integrity, a government which really is for the people. And the way that you do that is by focusing on the integrity of your own heart and understanding what's truly going on in the political dynamic and focusing solely on that. It is none of my business what other people are saying about me. It is my business what I'm doing in the world.
Bravo.
Let me ask you this, if I may, Elizabeth. You've had the benefit now of living under two forms of health care, both one in the UK and also here in the United States. Do you feel that the UK system of health care could possibly be adapted here to the United States? And how would you go about possibly presenting such?
It absolutely can be adapted and should be. I mean, I really see, I'm astounded by being in this country and seeing the barbarism which is expressed through the health care policy which is here. Almost 100 million Americans without adequate health insurance, or if you take off 47 million who don't have any health coverage whatsoever. You know, in the UK where I come from, I've got five breast cancer survivors in my family. None of them have ever had to worry about getting treatment, having access to care, whether the insurance company is or isn't going to give them what they need. They've never had to worry about being saddled with debt because they're ill. You know, they've been able to concentrate on their own healing. And when I travel this country and talk to all these multitudes of people that I engage with, I hear this is not the case in America, where insurance companies make money not providing health care. This is a disgusting system where one in every three of our health care dollars is creamed off the top for corporate profits, and really is doing this country such a disservice. It's also doing industry an incredible disservice, and the way that we can change this is by implementing the policy, House Resolution 676, which is for a universal, single-payer, not-for-profit healthcare system, effectively Medicare for all, which really would be extending Medicare, making it much more effective, much more efficient, and it would be cutting the cost dramatically. We would be putting that $700 billion, which is taken for corporate profits, stock options, executive salaries, putting all of that into healthcare. We don't need any more tax expansion. We don't need any more money to go into the system. Just by eliminating the for-profit sector, we would have enough money to cover absolutely every person in this country for every medical necessity, including dental care, mental health care, long-term care, prescription drugs, vision care, hearing care. There's also an annex bill which is being written to really include complementary healthcare as well, because we understand that there are so many other ways to cure and to uphold people's, the integrity of people's health, which are not necessarily popping pills, but really looking at preventative healthcare and looking after the body before you become susceptible to illness. So, yes, there's such a tremendous opportunity within America to truly serve this country with its healthcare needs.
Your humanitarian efforts since you were approximately 14 years old are well known and respected. What do you feel, Elizabeth, needs to be done to break the perpetual poverty cycle that we seem to have in third world countries?
One of the reasons why I actually came to America was because I understood from working in India and working with Africa, the way that the power of the American government collectively put together with the power of the private international financial organizations has moved to actually cause people to have to jump through hoops to lower barriers to trade, to do all these different things to stop protecting their economy, which has caused much of the poverty that we see. Having worked in Africa, wanting to literally work with the poor, I started to see how a failed economic policy, which was being implemented through embassies, was actually causing more poverty to be created as countries and continents such as Africa were being exploited. You know, why should such a mineral-rich, population-rich, land-rich nation be so impoverished? It's because there's such unfair trade going on. So I really see the potential for trade, as does Dennis, to be based not on whether you're going to privatize your water and privatize your utilities and mechanize all of your agriculture, but actually have trade based on workers' rights, human rights, and environmental quality principles. And when we move to have smart policy in America, which really sees, well, we have to have workers' rights, the right to organize, the right to strike, the right to collective bargaining, the rights to decent wages and benefits, to a safe workplace, etc., an abolition of slave labor, child labor, prison labor, and uphold the integrity of the environment, the air, the water, and the land. When we have that as center of our trade policies, then we can actually see the power of American government be very, very positive within the world to lift up the power and potential of trade within America, but also lift up the lot of people around the world. We don't need all these 501c3s going into the developing world and into other continents doing their work, trying to ban this and trying to do that. We need government to be a government of integrity that understands that trade can be a mechanism that lifts everyone up. But the only way we can do that is by having fair trade.
Well, thank you, Elizabeth. We want to ask your husband now a few questions, if we can. Dennis, are you with us still?
Yes, I've been enjoying listening to Elizabeth, and I think that all of your listeners can see why she is considered by many to have a world-class intellect. And actually, there was one time in the campaign where I thought that she would be able to fill in a presidential debate because she is as competent to answer those questions as any of the candidates running for president.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Bravo, Elizabeth. Bravo.
Thank you.
Listen, Dennis, we have a number of astute members and concerned citizens here that have pieced together some questions for you. Let me get right to it. This seems to be a hot topic, obviously. You have asked that the Secretary of State in New Hampshire to recount the votes for the primary. They're citing a desire to make sure that all the votes were counted. Given the issues surrounding the elections in the last 8 years, do you feel that there might be some form of conspiracy to disenfranchise certain voters for political gain?
I want to make sure the elections are on the up and up. I don't want to charge conspiracy, but I do want to say that the 2000 election was stolen and the 2008 election was not on the up and up. In the year 2000, it was in Florida. In the year 2004, it was in Ohio. And I'm concerned that in 2008, that we don't lose the integrity of this election, and that's why I've asked for a recount in New Hampshire.
The AboveTopSecret.com family and members were very upset because of the freedom of speech issues that you were excluded from the most recent debate. Would you like to now address to our fan base and make it worldwide what maybe some of your responses would have been to some of the questions that were asked, the candidates that were allowed to speak?
Yes, the American people need to understand that we're being given narrow options on Iraq. We need to get out of Iraq. The war is based on lies. And the other candidates are talking about keeping U.S. troops there for the purpose of either training Iraqi troops or for guarding an embassy which was built under an occupation, or through counterinsurgency, which actually will continue reaction to the United States presence. I think that we really have to get out of Iraq, and while others will say that, you can say get out of Iraq, and you can mean 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, and you still can say, well, I want to get out of Iraq, but no one's pinning them down about the time. And the fact of the matter is, even when Tim Russert tried to pin them down, because in a previous debate they had said 2014, now they keep slip-sliding, so the American people are being misled. I'm saying directly, we need to be out of Iraq, and can be within 3 months from the time I take office, end the occupation, close the bases, bring the troops home, have a parallel international peacekeeping and security force that moves in as auxiliary. We have no business being there. Next, okay. Healthcare. All the other candidates are giving the American people a limited choice, saying they can choose between one type of for-profit health care plan or another type of for-profit health care plan. That is not the choice the American people will find satisfactory to protect their family budgets and their own health. I, as Elizabeth explained, am the co-author of a bill, H.R. 676, that provides for a single-payer, not-for-profit health care system where people put money back in their pockets instead of giving it to the insurance interest, and where we save jobs because our industries aren't going to be stuck with paying huge insurance costs. Canada has had a competitive advantage over the United States in auto manufacturing simply because they've been able to absorb the cost of insurance by having a national health care system. Those are two big nuclear energy policy. Right now, the oil companies are running our government, and the nuclear power industry through General Electric is trying to build more nuclear power plants. There's a lot of plants that are operating past the time of their licensure. They're not safe, and the fact of the matter is, nuclear power has ended up being too expensive, has driven a lot of jobs out of this country, particularly in the Northeast, and it's not safe. There's no place to store the waste, and most people don't want it in their backyard for good reason. So here's these candidates, propped up by NBC, where NBC doesn't let me in the debate because NBC's parent company, General Electric, is making money off of nuclear power, and they want to dump waste at Yucca Mountain. And they're also making money, GE, through their other company, Raytheon, which is a defense manufacturer, and wants to keep the war going. See, the American people and we have a chance to have a great education of our political process as we watch how the broadcast networks manage their allocation of time to candidates. And we look at the business interests of these broadcast networks, and we come to understand that the networks are trying to rig the debate in order to enhance the financial standings of their parent corporation. This is exactly what's happened in the case of NBC, and it is not for the American people, who deserve a full and open debate without regard to the interests of the broadcasters.
A member here who is a concerned voter wanted to ask this. Most of us are tired of lobbyists and their contributions, Dennis. It seems that the lobbyists get their agendas passed, while the masses that pay the majority of the taxes seem to be getting ignored. Would you do anything to change this?
Well, the only way to change is public financing. I mean, lobbyists are there to try to get their point of view across, but they also pay to get their point of view. Washington is like one big auction. And if you've ever been to an auction, they can be very entertaining, except for one thing. When it's the government that's being auctioned off, it's not so entertaining. When it's your health being auctioned off to the insurance company, it's not entertaining. Or peace being auctioned off to war manufacturers, or energy policy being auctioned off to the oil companies and nuclear companies, very sad indeed. We have to have a national approach to this, and that involves having a system where campaign finance is essentially private entities from contributing, and public finance then becomes the day. Here's the rule: public financing, public control of the election process, and public control of the government. Private financing, private control of the election process, and private control of the government. When you consider that in this election, there's open talk that $1 billion spent by all the candidates. Where are they getting that money? They're getting it from people who want to keep accelerating the wealth of the nation upwards, who don't care if you're making less than you used to make, who don't care if you don't have any health care, or if you're paying a premium for it that you can't afford, who don't care if you've been cheated by subprime lenders, who don't care if you have if your retirement security is in doubt. All they care about is accelerating the wealth upward, the tax system to do that, using war to accelerate the wealth upwards, using energy controlled by the oil companies that take the money out of our pockets through the pump, accelerate the wealth upwards, health insurance companies accelerate the wealth upwards. I mean, it's all the American people are getting robbed right now. And it's so important. It's so important for us to create a nation where the tax system is fair, and I want to change the Bush tax cuts to go to the bottom 80% instead of the top 1%, where the health system is fair. I want to change that to have a not-for-profit healthcare system where we don't have war as an instrument of policy, stop spending money on wars that are based on lies, and where we can truly have a Works Green administration where we have a carbon-free and nuclear-free energy policy. If we regain our country, we'll have the kind of money everyone will have money in their pockets to be able to do what they have to do instead of giving away to these interest groups.
Hey, Dennis, in 2005, the leaders of the three North American countries, the United States, Canada, Mexico, signed the Security and Prosperity Partnership in Waco, Texas. Are you familiar with this document, and do you believe that it is a legal framework for a European Union-style merger between these same countries?
Let me tell you something. I've heard a lot of talk about that, but I want you to understand something. I want the United States of America to be intact. I want to be a nation among nations, but I'm not interested in us being gobbled up by some kind of a North American agreement. This is why I want to get out of NAFTA. This is why I want to get out of the World Trade Organization. I want America to regain its American goods. It's for us to have an American manufacturing policy that says the maintenance of steel, automotive, aerospace, vital to our national economic security, where we are able to buy American. You know, we have to make goods here. We have to encourage people to consume goods made in America. I've always believed it's either buy American or buy America. I think that we have a right to stand for our country and that we have a right to gain back the civil liberties that have been taken away in the name of fighting this anomalous terror war all over the world. I mean, I don't believe in wiretapping or eavesdropping. I think the government should stay out of our houses, and the government should stay out of our mail, stay off of our phones, get out of our bedroom. I mean, I'm all for having education, health care, and retirement security, with programs that the government helps to participate in one way or another. But you know what? There comes a point where you got to draw the line. And where I draw the line is our sphere of privacy. And frankly, I'm very strong about this. I mean, you know, I'm the only person running for president who voted against the Patriot Act. I'm the only person running for president who voted against the Homegrown Terrorism Act. The only person running for president who says that we have to cancel NAFTA and get out of the WTO. And I think that when you have a president who really stands for basic rights like that, the American people will have confidence in ourselves again, and that we'll be able to move to a place of strength and peace and prosperity where everybody has a job and everyone has health care and people have a chance for an education for their children instead of blowing all this money on needless wars and undermining our liberties by a phony war on terror.
Well, you happen to mention, Dennis, about retirement securities, and of course, Social Security is something that is on everybody's mind. What would you do about possibly changing the Social Security system, and do you think it needs to be changed in the first place, or does the system simply need to be tweaked?
Well, here's the thing. Social Security is rock solid through the year 2032 without any changes whatsoever. And beyond that, if it needs to be, if it needs more revenue, you just simply raise the cap from $89,000 or so and raise it up incrementally so you cover the cost. But here's what's really going on with Social Security. Wall Street wants to grab it. Wall Street, which brought us the savings and loan debacle, which has brought us the control of the oil companies and nuclear companies and our energy policy. Wall Street, which brought us the subprime loan mess that has caused so many Americans to be in jeopardy, either lose their homes or be in jeopardy of it. Wall Street wants to grab the money out of Social Security so they can use it to fuel the speculation in the market. Well, let me tell you something. What a President Kucinich would mean is this. Wall Street's ambitions to take any part of Social Security are gone. That money belongs to the people. It was put in there from the work that people did throughout their lifetimes. And each generation since Social Security was created in 1934 has had the opportunity to be able to participate in it. Social Security has never missed a payment. Social Security benefits ought to be solid. Anything. We should be not moving the retirement age back. We should be lowering the retirement age to 65 or 64, because people's bodies break down when you're working 30, 40 years on a job. People are tired, and they deserve a chance to enjoy the fruits of their labor, other than having to work themselves to death, work longer in their lifetimes, and then see that retirement date keep moving back, only so Wall Street maneuvers in a position where it can grab the money. Let me tell you something. I understand how this system works. I've been involved in politics for 40 years, and I also understand how to stand up to these interest groups. That's why they're not so excited about contributing money to my campaign, because all they get is good government, and that's not what they want.
Dennis, who would protect and defend our citizens of the United States in the event of a terrorist attack on our own soil, since our military right now is so stretched thin around the globe and little in number in our own country?
This is to have the National Guard be about our communities. I don't want the federal government sending troops into our cities. You know, that's why in the last century, in 1895, there was a bill passed called Posse Comitatus. It said that the military, federal military, should never be involved in local law enforcement, because that's what keeps a fascist state. You know, we don't need control of our law enforcement at a local level by the military. But what do you do then when you have a natural disaster or you have any kind of a emergency that requires law enforcement? You call out the National Guard. This is what governance is supposed to be able to do. But if the National Guard's in another country, as part of, you know, supplementing the U.S. military, well, that creates problems. And that's exactly what's happening right now. You know, there were women that's going to do the job in Louisiana when they had difficulties there. And there's Guards groups being called up for more overseas. And, you know, in a national emergency, everybody should pitch in. I mean, as president, I wouldn't hesitate to call our troops to defend our country. We sure better have a president who knows the difference between offense and defense. And we need to make sure that our states have the ability to meet the needs of a national, of a state or local event. And that's what the National Guard has always been about. And it's been smart because this protects our democracy at the same time.
This question to me is really going to hit home, and it is this, because jobs in the U.S. seems to be a priority on everyone's mind. What are your plans for getting U.S.-owned corporations to keep their employment opportunities within the U.S. rather than the current trend of outsourcing to other countries and or moving their manufacturing locations, obviously, outside of the U.S.?
I'm with you 100% on that. I believe that we need an American manufacturing policy that says that the maintenance of steel, automotive, aerospace, and shipping is vital to our national economic security. We need to back that up with an infrastructure building program, just like FDR did. I want to rebuild our roads, bridges, water systems, sewer systems, create millions of new jobs, rebuilding America. And I also want to have a new energy infrastructure, a Works Green administration, creating millions of new jobs that would involve construction of wind and solar microtechnologies for distribution and installation to tens of millions of American homes and businesses. I want a national health plan that would greatly reduce the expenses and limit the expenses of a huge cost right now to industries and businesses and individuals. Imagine what happens when we have $700 billion a year goes back into health care instead of the profits of the insurance companies, and then business and industries will benefit because they won't be paying this high bill. And individuals never have to worry about losing their job because they're always here. They won't have to worry about going broke. I mean, I'm talking about a plan that would reinvigorate the American economy. And I've just outlined it for you, and it's only part of the plan. There are so many things that we can do. We have to break up monopolies, by the way. We have to break up the monopolies in agriculture so that farmers can get a fair price for their product, so that they can be able to sell in local markets and get back to the whole idea of parity, which kind of went out the door and about 30 years ago, but we need to bring it back. And I want to stop these wars that are just separating us from the world community and are making it more dangerous for our children, because we're borrowing money from China. Think about this. We're borrowing money from China to fight a war against Iraq that's based on lies. And we need to get out of there. We need to stop borrowing the money. And, you know, when I was growing up in Ohio, there was a myth. You know, I was a child, and they said that if you went to your backyard, Dennis, you dig a hole deep enough, You can get the china, right? Well, we're there. We have dug that hole, and we're there. And we got a $288 billion trade deficit with China. We're borrowing money from China. We're losing control of our destiny. China doesn't have a democracy. China has a government that doesn't believe in democracy. And yet we're beholden to China. What are we doing with our nation? We're losing our nation to war based on lies, to destruction of our civil liberties, and to massive debt. And as President of the United States, I want to turn this great ship of our state in a new direction, away from the rocks of war and lies, and towards that open ocean of sustainability and peace and full employment and health care and education and a clean environment. I mean, we need to change the direction now. We better do it pretty soon.
Yes, I want to end with the last question here, and it's kind of a humorous question, but one of our members did ask. You know, everybody seems to be in the world, especially all the United States citizens, disenfranchised with the amount of corruption and lying and ineptness that seems to be happening with the politicians. Would you ever sponsor a bill to where all the candidates are listing, but at the bottom of it says none of the above?
Would I ever sponsor a bill that said what?
Would you ever sponsor a bill where, in addition to all the candidates being listed, one of the options would be none of the above?
I think that's what we have already, where people just don't go and vote. That's what none of the people vote none of the above by not showing up. I want to give people a reason to vote, and as people hear what I stand for, I think they'll have a reason to vote. Ask all of your listeners if they'd please go to Dennis4, the number 4, DennisPresident.com, and read about our plans to take America in a new direction, and please join us. Join us in this effort to take America to a place of safety and security, of prosperity. I've so much enjoyed having a chance to be on your show, and let's talk again. Thank you, Elizabeth and I send our love to all your listeners, and thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you. Bye now.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Dave Rabbit here again with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. If you love politics and are tired of hearing and reading all that robotic crap that keeps churning out from the mainstream media, then come join me and thousands of people from around the world at AbovePolitics.com. They have political forums for everyone's taste, including U.S. politics, United Kingdom politics, Canadian politics, head-to-head political debates, politics of war. They have a general chit-chat and a freshman forum for you newbies and rookies to the political arena. There's also forums about Mideast conflict, socialism. They have a slugfest, liberalism, conservatism, moderate, and my personal favorite, military and security issues. So if you don't want to be another sheep, and want to be a unique thinker, AbovePolitics.com is for you. Part of the Above Network, LLC. Deny apathy. AbovePolitics.com.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.AboveTopSecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat.